to let go. Al-a-e-mi is the word usually translated forgiveness. It's a group word. And within that group, whether it be forgiveness, forgiven, or forgiving, whatever place it might play in the sentence structure, it basically means the etymology is to let go. People have a tremendous problem with letting go, if anything, of their own sins. And I receive questions, will I still be judged for my sins after I have repented on Judgment Day? And what is dangerous about this? It's almost an insult to God for you to say something like that. Why? When Christ forgives, He forgives. It's over. Let it go. It's done. Other than remembering it for the experience of never getting in that position again, it's gone. In other words, it's actually blotted out or erased from your name in the book of life. It doesn't exist anymore. So if you worry about something like that, you're worried only for yourself. And at the same time, kind of insulting our Father. As I said, other than meaning to remember it in the memory bank so you don't do it again. Or if you sure should, you certainly better repent in a hurry because He knows you know better this time. That does make a little difference also. So in repetitious prayer for forgiveness of something you know you're going to do again, it's really best to say, give me the ability, the strength, that it won't happen again. Help me with that. Don't make promises that you know you're not going to keep. That doesn't pay dividends, friends. God always blesses those whom honor Him, love Him. It's a guarantee. I think that was the last topic we discussed here, was guarantee. He has guaranteed it in the Scripture. You can count on it. That He always blesses those that follow Him. So to let go means to, in Greek literature, we'll take it in the Greek first, and we'll be discussing the Hebrew equivalent here later in the lecture, is it would apply in secular material to pardons, divorce, many other cases, and this is where the etymology of to let go. Sometimes you've got to love enough to let go. But today we're going to concentrate on the spiritual aspect of letting our sins go once we repent for them, because it's an insult to God to carry guilt after that. It means you don't believe He forgave you. You might be ashamed for yourself, but never ever. He doesn't want to hear about it again. And He considers it in bad taste. We'll document that before this lecture is over with. Let's start in the book of Mark. We're going to take a few short trips today, but you hang on. To let go, to send off, to let be, and to pardon, and to send forth. Basically, all of these things in this word group. It's over, meaning to let go. Mark chapter 3, verse 23. We'll utilize this word in the teachings of Christ. This is when He cleansed and actually invaded Satan's house and drove him out. And that's what you have to do. You are stronger than Satan in the spiritual sense because God has given you authority and power in Christ's name over Satan in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. So you can strong-arm Satan in your own area. You don't have to take anything from him, off of him. So Christ making that point here. Let's take it at verse 23 of chapter 3, the great book of Mark, chapter 3, 23. And He called them unto Him and said unto them the parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? How can a man fight himself? All right, that's the point. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Nothing can. A family can't. People can't. And what it is, they just call Jesus Beelzebub, which is to say Lord of the Dunghill, so to speak. It was a terrible insult. And he said, how can I order Satan around if that's who if I were the king of that house, in other words? 25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. 26, and if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but hath an end. This is the way the enemy always does a family, even, I might insert just in passing. They divide you. If Satan can get you divided and get you arguing among yourselves, why should he tire himself with trying to destroy a family when it's going to destroy itself? Because he is already divided. And this is not to say that you're not to have different opinions, okay? I think everyone knows that, don't they? Some husbands have opinions, wives have opinions, and so it is. But always come to that meeting place, and everyone has a right to their opinion, but you can't fight against, all right? It won't work that way. You have to come to an understanding and love one another enough that you can put up with it, okay, or something to that nature. 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. In other words, you have to have power over Satan. You can't be of Satan or Beelzebub and go in and tear up Satan's house. You'd be tearing up your own, in other words. Christ is separating himself, certainly dividing himself to these people, knowing I'm of God, not Satan. 28, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven. Here's our word. All sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemous wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. I mean, everybody messes up at times. 29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. In other words, you're not going to be able to let that go. That's called the unpardonable sin. And of course, when can that happen? Well, when one is delivered up before Satan, and one has an opportunity to witness against by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through them, as it is written in Mark 13, and disallows the Holy Spirit. When you know better, then you can forget it. There's no going back. Do I think that is possible? No, I do not. I do not believe that anyone that knows Satan for who he is and God wants to speak through you, you're anxious. You're not the least bit afraid of that. Maybe careful, but not afraid. And you're going to do it. So there you have. He said, that's one thing that I won't let go. I'm not going to erase it out of your book. If you do that, you're probably in pretty serious danger of perishing. Okay, we're going to skip right on over into chapter 4 here as we take aphiomi, which is to say to let go. And let's pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 4. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Why did Christ speak in parables? This is going to tell you. Okay. And he said unto them, unto you. Who is you? The disciples, the students. Disciple is a word that comes from discipline, and it means a student of God's word. Okay, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. That's to say the sequence of events that chronologically come to pass, especially in the generation of the fig tree. That's the mystery to most people. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Why? A sin committed in ignorance is really no sin. And there are some people that would not have the courage, because they were not chosen in the election. Well, let's take it a step deeper. Those that did not overcome in the first earth age to stand against Satan, do you think they would now? You know, probably, you know, and the danger is going to hell for sure. So God, in his umbrella of innocency Or as it's written in Romans 11, some sent the spirit of slumber, meaning they can't see it. I don't suppose any of you have ever run across someone you tried to plant a little bud of wisdom and there wasn't no way. They could not hear. Okay, that's the reason. 11, 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. There's our word. But we have a millennium coming. It's a respite, not a second chance, but a chance to remove that slumber for those that failed to stand against Satan in the first earth age, that might fall unforgivably in this one. It's a protection. It's like a pop-off valve on a cooker. It's for their own benefit, all right? And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? In other words, if you don't understand that parable of the sower, do you understand that's the tares and how they were planted in the world? That's what the parable is. Bringing forth the Kenites. And the Kenites, you were to leave them alone. The angels will gather them at the end. And to know the mystery of, then as it's better written probably in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 35, that where he begins explaining, he said, hey, the field where those tares was planted is the world. And Satan, God planted the good seed, but Satan planted the tares, the Kenites. And you got them with you, and you know what to do about it. So, forgiveness is a precious thing to let go. And in a sense, some might say, well, why would God prevent some from knowing the truth then? It seems like that would be unfair. Not so. It's the ultimate in love and fairness, that until they come to full accountability or knowledge, that they're not held responsible. If that kind of clouds up, put it on the shelf and let her sit there a while. But God is always fair. It is man, when he might think God is unfair, is not seeing clarity to the bottom of the well. Okay, so you have to keep working at it. God is always fair. Okay, so there again, we have a case of to let go. And this explains considerable problems that people have in planting seeds. Don't worry about it. You planted it. Only God can make it grow. And you don't have to worry. I receive many questions about, I just know my family's going to hell if they don't change. Well, hey, God's judge, not you, okay? If you planted the seed, and when you are delivered up to that point spoken of in the 29th verse of chapter 3, they're going to know that a prophet spoke to them. Somebody told them something beforehand that they should have listened to, and perhaps they will listen at that time. Let's go on over to the 11th chapter of this great book of Mark. Mark chapter 11, let's pick it up in verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, beloved, that is ever so important. I've heard people say, I have a lot of faith, but if I can just believe that God is real. You just blew yourself out of the pond, okay? You have to know God is real before you can begin having faith, okay? Faith is believing. Faith is knowing without any doubt. And Jesus makes it very clear, have faith in God. 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that means a nation, some nation, be thou removed. If you want to remove a Kenite nation, hey, say it, because we're going to. God's going to, okay? And be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, that's to say in your mind, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, many people take this because they think they're selfish. And they think of self. We've got a lot of brethren that are lost, my friends. They're confused. They're hurting. How can you think of yourself in the way of materialism when we have that many brethren lost? What he's talking about is spreading the gospel or doing God's work, such as destroying that nation. That's why as long as you do God's work, he'll furnish the bricks, but you're going to do the building. Do you understand? He's not going to do it for you. You have to ask for material and wisdom to be able to plant seeds, to visit the sick, whatever your gift might be, whatever. Everyone has different or diverse gifts so that the whole body is complete. Whatever that is, when you ask for something in that, he's going to give it to you. It's just like if you're a teacher and you don't understand something, don't get bum-fuzzled. That's an old Southern term, all right? It means confused. Don't get all confused or bent out of shape. What are you supposed to do? Well, are you a believer? Do you have faith? Don't you have faith to know he can clarify it for you? He can make it clear in your mind if you'll ask him. He's promised, I'll give it. If it has to do with doing my work, all you got to do is ask, bam, it's there. Okay? I am for one that can witness and testify. That is a true statement. Okay? Now, if that same teacher said, whoa, my, these old bones would sure love to have a brand new Cadillac. You know, Lord would say, turn him off right now. Okay? Because, you know, just like people that pray for God to tell them where to park the car, if you're not smarter than that, he can't use you, okay? And you got two hands, just like everybody else, if you can't work for a Cadillac, if that's what you wanted, you know, I'd rather have a truck myself, but be that as it may. Anyway, work for it and have it. You know, he'll help you along the way, but you're gonna earn that. But if it's something that you want to do for God, ask, and you're gonna have it. Just bang, it's just like that. All right. Of course, now let me emphasize, faith goes a long ways in that. If you don't have faith, don't waste your time. All right, or you're not gonna waste God's time. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Again, put brackets on that. Keep everything within its parameter. The subject, rightly dividing the word here, is doing God's work. All right? He's not talking about you asking for something outside of those parameters. What he says in another place concerning that, I know what you have need of. You don't have to ask. In other words, if you do the work first, and he'll bring that other stuff along after you deserve it and earn it, okay? Hey, that's just the way it is, friends. God only gives us what we can take care of. That's it. 25, and when you stand praying, listen carefully, forgive. There's our word. Let go. If ye have aught against any, if somebody has offended you, then you don't have to run to them and fall on your knees and say, I forgive you. It's not what it said. But don't let it build up to be a canker or a cancer in your own body, mind. I'm speaking spiritually. You can at least say, they didn't know any better. They're ignorant. You don't have to call them that if it bothers you. But in other words, you don't have to go to them and say, I forgive you. Let me ask you something. When Christ was on the cross, what was some of his words on that cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did he holler down to them and say, hey, boys, I forgive you because you don't know what you're doing? No, that's not what he said. He didn't say anything to them. But he did, in his own heart, forgive them. Why? Well, prophecy was being fulfilled while he was on that cross that makes this word forgiveness available to you today. Okay. So That was God's overall plan, and it's always positive, okay? Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. To trespass is to sin against God's law, okay, or vice versa. So God will forgive you. So it's important. If some poor, unlearned person abuses, this doesn't mean you have to take abuse, all right? You know my teachings on that, and God, you know God's teachings on that. You just don't have to take it, all right? That's when you there's a little separations begin to take place, all right, with as far as brotherhood is concerned. God wrote us a special letter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6, about how to handle people like that. But in your own heart, don't hold grudges, all right? It'll cost you. It will. Do you know who it'll hurt? It won't hurt somebody else. It'll hurt you. Well, then you'll have a person that'll say, well, I don't believe in holding grudges. I believe in getting even. Okay, well, fair enough, okay, if that's what the way you want to play, you know. But vengeance belongeth to God. Always remember that. Do it His way. 26. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That's pretty straight, friends. And that's why it's important that you don't hang on to grudges, all right? You got to learn to let go. Right? Let it go. Get rid of it. Don't carry somebody else's garbage, okay? Let it go. Erase it from your mind other than the memory bank of experience and knowledge to keep you out of trouble. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, if you know there's a trail out here and there's a big old stump about halfway down and you scrub your toe on it every time you go by, well, you remember then that the stump's there and go around it, okay? Don't do that anymore. That's what I'm talking about, perhaps an oversimplification, but be that as it may. It is extremely important that you don't hang on to garbage. Let it go. How many of you have ever heard me say, maybe not as many as I might think, I know a lot of you have, they'll say, how are you today? I'm fine. I have a good day every day. Do you know why? I leave the garbage for somebody else. You know? I mean, you don't have time for it, okay? You don't deal in stuff like that, okay? Let it go. And that is the etymology of forgiveness, is to have it gone. You're free from it. You're bigger than that. You're more mature. You don't act like a little child. You are mature in Almighty God's Word, whereby you have the ability to do that. Else, my friend, there go you. See, you're just part of it. So, like I said, this is an oversimplification, but this needed to be done for the folks in TV land, okay? I know y'all don't need this, but be that as it may. Forgive, don't hang on to baggage, all right? Our Father is able. We're a family. Everything is going to be just fine. Do you know how I know that? I have faith in this Word, and it says it's going to be. And if it says it, it's so. All right. So be a let her go. Okay. Don't just let things go. Well, I wanted to worry about that some more. Really? You know, boy, I need to tell you, that's looking for trouble, isn't it? You know, let it go. That's what the word forgiveness means. And that's what God does for you, and His Son paid an awesome price. That it's already stamped, paid in full. Okay? So don't get in your own way. You can't go very fast if you keep tripping yourself up and getting in your own way. Forgive. That doesn't, I hope I made it clear. That doesn't mean if somebody has really abused you, you have to go to them and beg them to ask for forgiveness. If they don't ask it, you don't have to say a word to them. Just get it out of your heart. Let it go. All right? Now, forgive so that you may be forgiven. Christ dispenses forgiveness. Why? He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that paid the price. So he is the one that dispenses forgiveness. I want to take an example of where he himself dispensed of and forgave an individual. Let's go back to earlier in Mark. Let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Mark. We begin in 3. Okay? This is where Christ himself dispenses forgiveness. That is to say, aphemia, which is mai, rather, which is to say, to let it go. Right? Let it be. So, verse 5, chapter 2, and it reads, when Jesus saw their faith, when he saw what? What qualified this action? Jesus saw, observed, took in their faith. He could see it. Why? He could read their mind. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Your sins are just let go. Now, we have people then that will say, well, I just wish I could believe that. I prayed and I said, Lord, I repent. Forgive me so that my sins are gone. And unfortunately, some Christians have the opinion, it would seem to me, that these old boys did. Listen to them. Verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, you know, thinking this thing through. 7. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemous? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, now, that's a true statement. God only can, but God was standing with them. Okay, in the Son, Emmanuel, God with us. But it would seem that some Christians even think, even after they, I guess it's because sometimes we expect so much from ourselves because we know what we know, that you just can't believe that you mess up. But sometimes we do, unfortunately. That may be bad news for you. But sometimes we mess up. And that's what this is about, is forgiveness, to let it go. And these old boys are saying, he has no right of letting that boy's sins go. Right? That's what they're saying. 8. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned, he could read their minds, okay, within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Why are you thinking about that? I mean, it's written in the Old Testament. They were scribes. They were supposed to be scripture lawyers. That was just it. They were lawyers and not really led of God, all right? I don't suppose any of you ever run across one of those. They can quote the Bible beginning to end, but they don't let it say anything, all right? Verse 9, whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy? That means he's paralyzed. If you don't know what palsy means, it means he's paralyzed. Thou sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Now stop and think about that a moment. Which is more important? Well, you know, to a paralyzed person, naturally, but we have a longer generation coming, and that's in the eon to come. And it's better that his sins be forgiven, that he makes it there, than it is for him to be viable and not paralyzed.